The best way to predict the future is to invent it. Stephen Ambrose brings you up to speed on what the future holds as he explores the latest technology as it impacts our lives.
Well, welcome to Tech Talk right here on Hi FM, and it's been a crazy 2 weeks. Last week, or rather over the last weekend, and starting last Thursday, was the IFA 2025 technology show. It's focused, IFA is in Berlin every year, and it's certainly become the largest consumer-related tech show in Europe, and certainly nearly, not quite the same scale as CES in January, though CES in January is definitely morphing into more of a general trade fair for technology than a consumer show. But IFA sort of sets the tone for what's happening in the world in technology. Often not a lot of big new announcements, though there were a few from Samsung and a couple of others, which we'll go into during the course of the show today. And then, of course, was the big news, the annual gadget fest for Apple aficionados and fans, where the latest iPhone 17 was announced along with the launch of iOS 26, which is coming next week for everybody. Developers already have access to it, and some watches and some other really interesting news around where technology is going. And again, we're going to discuss all that. There's just way, way, way too many things on the go at the moment, which is great. Winter's coming to the north. Technology, the holiday season starting. Technology's hotting up, trying to get you to buy all the latest TVs, gadgets, gizmos, and whatnot. So stay tuned. There's going to be lots to unpack, lots of things to listen to, lots of new technology, and a couple of thoughts of what I saw. Of course, AI is front and center of everything, down to your washing machine, in fact. So a lot about that. But what is interesting is that, talking about CES, the association announced that the CES 2026 will feature a dedicated pavilion for Africa tech innovators. And South African startups like Yoko and Aerobotics and a couple of others have confirmed that they will be there with their payment solutions and AI-driven agriculture tech. South Africa is a bit of a tech hub. There's no question that we've got some really smart companies and some really forward-looking players in the game, and set the trend in some ways. So it'll be quite cool to see all of that being highlighted through a global audience that attends something as big as CES 2026. And in other news, Vodacom started out rolled out some of their Wi-Fi 7 trials in Johannesburg. Now, Wi-Fi 7 is the big chat. Everyone's been talking about Wi-Fi 6, which sort of never really became a mainstream talking subject. It had its benefits, was a bit better than Wi-Fi 5, which is sort of the main technology that most routers and most things come with. And Wi-Fi 6 offered better speeds, greater ease of connectivity, and much better performance in light of congestion. Now, again, in South Africa, generally, unless you're living in a high-rise building with lots and lots of people around you, Wi-Fi congestion is not the biggest challenge that we have. But there's some places in Europe where I've been, you open up your Wi-Fi connection, and there's like, I wouldn't say hundreds, but there's certainly pages of Wi-Fi networks floating about, all transmitting, all trying to compete with the same spectrum. But Wi-Fi 7 is fundamentally a big, big, big step in the right direction. It's much, much more like mobile in terms of its connectivity, the way it operates, the way it negotiates for its settings with the various devices. So it's certainly a lot easier to connect and a lot more stable. It also introduced the 6 gigahertz band, which is at the moment pretty much unpopulated. Interestingly, I got a Wi-Fi 7 router at IFA. I've tried it, and I'm the only guy on the 6 gig band. So that's always good to be the only one. You get lots of clean transmission. But essentially, Wi-Fi 7 brings fiber performance to Wi-Fi. I'm getting 900 gig, not gig, I wish, 900 meg on my phone in the home, which is absolutely insane speeds. It's almost maxing out the one gig line that I have. So it really is bringing fiber connectivity to the home, and also at a level and at a speed that certainly makes wired, I wouldn't say redundant, but certainly makes it less and less relevant in terms of connectivity. So the devices will become untethered and things will get faster and better. So a lot happening in that space, no question. And we expect to see Wi-Fi 7 drive adoption for next-gen type connectivity. And again, high-definition video. I've even noticed on Netflix it seems to stream a little bit smoother in the home. So high bit rate, high robustness, low latency connectivity is the holy grail of everything that we do. And as more and more stuff starts talking to more and more things, I mentioned the washing machine and the tumble dryer and your fridge and your stove. I mean, they've put AI into grills, for that matter. So you can get some of those from Miele and AEG and Bosch and all the manufacturers. There are a couple of interesting brands at IFA that I'd never seen before. Big push from China to get into the European market. I suppose in light of all the sanctions, not sanctions, but all the tariffs that have come into America, certainly this show was very heavily populated by some really impressive Chinese brands that I'd never seen before. So expect to see a whole lot of new product on the market, because South Africa tends to follow the European model in terms of product launches a lot closer than the American model. Just stylish in a stylistic way and a sort of market penetration way. I went to a couple of talks about the future of consumer tech and how it's evolving in Europe. And I see a lot of parallels to what is happening in South Africa. And there's going to be a lot of interesting stuff coming out of that that we'll see that'll dictate, you know, what you buy, when you buy. And certainly we'll talk a little bit about the connected home straight after the break. In Tech Talk Cafe, of what I saw at IFA, home in a box from Samsung. So a lot of integrated smart technology that literally for the first time is starting to feel natural, easy, and simple to use. And it'll become like the fax machine of this generation, where how did you operate without that wonderful tool that sped up communication so fast? Well, that was not that long ago, but seriously, it's now very outdated tech. There's a lot of new stuff. And despite all the rough carryings on with MTN over the last little while, and let's see where that all plans out. I'm not getting into any of the political stuff. But essentially, MTN have partnered with local startups to launch affordable 5G routers optimized for remote areas, which is really interesting. And again, that aligns with the smart home trends that we'll discuss later. And what's interesting, I just picked that up because it sort of came up at IFA a lot. They all support a system called Matter. Now, Matter is a home platform that allows a whole lot of stuff to connect. Samsung supported, Apple Connect supported, and a lot of other standards are Matter compatible. And it allows them to make the router sort of the connecting hub for so many of these gadgets from IFA. Because how do you integrate all this stuff? How do you manage it? How do you know what's working, what's not working? You need a platform, you need a visibility thing. And having a 5G router that's optimized for it might just make all the difference in terms of ease of use, bringing a product into your home, connecting it up, getting the benefit out of it. We don't have yet, who knows when it'll ever come, sort of differential electricity rates. So you run your washing machine after 12 at night, or at times when there's surplus power in the middle of the day, and you get the best and variable rate electricity. So a lot of that is coming. It's all a big deal in terms of green conscious and eco-friendly conscious Europe. But we'll be back straight after this. I've got a live read after the break with our sponsors, and I'll be back with the best gadgets and innovations from IFA straight after this.
This is Tech Talk with Stephen Ambrose on 101.9 High FM.
Now, moving on to IFA, just again, if you missed the earlier part, you've just joined. IFA is the largest tech show, consumer focused tech show, and it does focus on technology that's available or will be very shortly available in the stores starting September, October for the last half of 2025, and really does highlight some of the great products that were only hinted at CES or highlighted but not launched, and some new ones. So there were some amazing innovations that were really interesting to see. As usual, Samsung had a huge stand in something called the City Cube, where they highlighted a broad range of their technologies from home to, you name it, semiconductors to phones to televisions to all sorts of business. That really is quite insane. But some of the sort of key things that they announced was, again, AI across absolutely everything. But the most important thing, they've done a very solid strategic alignment with Google. So you find that the Google AI platform underpins everything that Samsung are doing, which is quite smart. Even though you've got Bixby still floating about, it's basically a front end for the AI that comes from Google. But they announced one new phone, which was the FE edition of the Galaxy S25, which sounds great. It's super slim, super light. They've taken away a few tiny little elements of what's in the big in the S25 full priced unit and dropped the price quite substantially. But when you hold the device and feel it, it's incredibly well made, brilliant screen, fantastic cameras, super slim, running the latest version of Android, which I must say is also integrated very well with the OS and AI throughout the platform. It is quite simple, easy to use, from photographs to search to anything that you want to do. The AI abilities are pretty insane. Voice translation, picture optimization. So the S25 FE will be out shortly in South Africa, and it will be well priced. It'll be certainly significantly less expensive than the current S25, but it won't be cheap by any measure. But it will bring some of the latest innovations, the latest operating system from Google, as well as incredible cameras, fantastic screen, and an amazing build quality and a whole range of really cool colors. So that was very impressive. They also announced some really interesting television changes. They brought AI directly to your TV. Now, the jury is out on this. I'm not convinced that having AI companion that's voice activated and voice enabled on a TV is a brilliant thing. But what you can do is, if you're watching something and you ask the AI, you know, give me some more information about it. Is the next season's coming? Who the actors are? It'll give you very context relevant information, and you can actually have a conversation. And I tried it. It works brilliantly. It is very irritating because it takes the picture into a little box and then gives you all this information. And in truth, I personally believe that a television is a display device. It should be super sharp, super bright, super clean, super easy to watch, with all the features that you like big and perfect blacks and wonderful colors. And the functionality of using it as an interface for AI or asking and searching and speaking should be left to other devices entirely. But it also can be the base of your home hub using Matter. So if you want to tell it to dim the lights, I want to watch the following movie. It's a bit like science fiction, you know, hey, computer, dim the lights. I want to watch the latest Jason Bourne event, feature film or whatever it is, and play it to me now. And then the lights dim, the TV comes up, the latest Jason Bourne plays. And all of that is part, and you can tell it to turn on the washing machine or put on the sprinklers or whatever it is that you want to do by naturally talking to your TV, which becomes a focal hub for home control in the home. So that is one little sort of, I think, quite a useful way of looking at things. And all of this was shown very clearly by Samsung. They had their home in a box outside. You can buy modular homes that are essentially, you need to supply water and power and they are completely kitted out with every gizmo gadget and geo-fenced everything. So in other words, if you leave your office and you set it, and it takes you 20 minutes to get home, again, not such a big deal in South Africa because not many places where it gets too hot or too cold. But what it would do in order to save you money, the home would automatically turn on all the heating or cooling, get the home to the perfect thing. If you've put something in the oven, it'll warm it up for you, all of this sort of stuff. And when you get home, it'll set everything, close the curtains, open the doors. As you drive up, the garage will open, all automatically, all managed. And at the same time, if you're running solar, it'll manage that and keep the power going. It's got an interface that's exactly like from the Jetsons, apart from flying hover cars. That's where we haven't got to. But the science fiction-y element of this home was pretty insane. Absolutely everything worked simply. It worked by voice mostly. So the days of fiddling with fancy remotes and expensive and complicated systems to give you whole home audio, whole home video, whole home heating, washing machines that turn on and off at the right time. They also highlighted some of their technology in washing machines. Depending on what fabric you use, and you can have multi-fabrics, the sensors in the machine will decide how to wash each one independently and optimize the entire load for power efficiency, maximum cleanness, and then steam it so that there's no bugs left in the stuff. And then, you know, you're ready for the dryer, which some of them are combos, so it'll then dry it perfectly without shrinking. So tons of AI in all that stuff. It's completely nuts how deep it's gone. And yet, for the first time, I'm seeing a massive emergence of ease of use. It's no longer, you don't need to be an expert. You don't need to understand how to set the stuff up. You don't have to call your 12-year-old daughter or cousin to come in to show you how to use your phone. It's simple, it's easy, it's intuitive, and pretty much preset for most of the things that you would do in your life. But that is predisposed on two things. One, that you can afford all this fancy technology. It's not cheap. It's still at the high end of the gadget. So the standard little washing machine you'll buy at Macro will just be a washing machine. It doesn't have Wi-Fi. It doesn't have AI. It doesn't have soft logic. Well, it might have some. But essentially, it's a dumb device that does the job. But if you want the fancy stuff that really brings the whole next level of innovation, and again, I saw this from AEG, from Miele. I mean, they've got ovens that'll cook fish and cake at the same time in one place perfectly. So your cake won't be fishy and your fish won't be overcooked. It'll warn you and tell you, and there's an app that monitors everything, and there's cameras in the fridges that check what's going on. And if you've got an RFID chip, which is not expensive anymore, on your vegetables or whatever you've stuck in the fridge, it'll actually say, look, this is what you got in the fridge, and here's some recipes that you can cook with what you've got. But would you like me to order from Checker 60, these ingredients so you can finish your thing? And that is entirely possible and happening right now in the kitchen of the future. So, and you can do that remotely. You're sitting in the office. You don't know what to make for supper. You go and have a look what's in the fridge. You ask the fridge to recommend a recipe. And you say, oh, you know what? I'm missing some coconut milk. Let's order that from somewhere. And it'll be waiting for you at your front door when you get home. So, well, depends. In South Africa, sometimes not a good idea to leave things at the front door. It might disappear. But that's the whole point. It's so easy. It's so simple. But moving on, that was just one thing. I also saw some interesting stuff from Philips Hue. Now, Philips are the lighting people for the most part. I mean, they do a ton of different things, from MRI machines down to vacuum cleaners and little handheld gadgets. But one of their key innovations has always been their sort of connected lights, the Hue range. And they unveiled a brand new Bridge Pro, which is a hub that supports three times the number of devices from its predecessor. It works over Ethernet or Wi-Fi. It's not going to be expensive, well under about 1,000, 1,500 Rand. And all the lighting lineup got a major upgrade with lower dimming for better energy efficiency, and then Full Matter and over Thread. Thread's their system, but Full Matter support. So you can skip all these extra little boxes for your home setups. And then they've introduced a secure video doorbell with really good 2K resolution. The only little flaw I saw in that one is that there was no Apple Home support yet. But anything that's involved with Matter works with Apple Home, and all the other platforms tend to get Zigbee as well. They tend to become more and more integrated. But in South Africa, again, because of the nature of our homes, it's hard to retrofit full smart home functionality because the walls are concrete and no one wants to cut into those or brick. But lighting, generally all it needs is some Wi-Fi in the room or less. It communicates amongst itself depending on the system. And you can set fantastic scenarios. Also, the style of lighting, which I noticed was being used for everyone, it was a lot less of the traditional globe bulb type setting with panels of LEDs, with LED strips, with very interesting LED setups that can allow remarkably different and stylish lighting scenarios that you would not even think of because they fit anywhere. You can have them under, but you know, behind curtains. You can fit them along the light, the whole roof. That gives a very spread, even. You can then modify the color, the intensity. Just so many options. And lighting is probably one of the easiest ways to bring smarts to your home and create an environment that is really perfectly suited for whatever you're doing. If you're just relaxing, reading a book, you want some spot on a book on your couch, you can do that. If you're watching TV, you can have lighting behind that's a little stronger, less elsewhere. If you just want to sit and have a chat with friends, you can change the mood and link it to the audio system. So there's so many different ways that you can use the smart home to really automatically manage your lighting. And all of it feeds back into energy efficiency. Again, if you've got something controlling that, or you're running on inverters or power supplies where you've got a slightly less limit, you know, not unlimited if you can afford it power. But there's a lot going on in that space, which makes a huge, huge, huge difference. And what was also interesting, and it seems to be a bit of a trend around the home, is that the Wi-Fi Alliance, these are the people who set the standards, you know, so Wi-Fi 7, it used to be called 802N and 802E and all sorts of things. They've just made it simple. There's Wi-Fi from 4, 5, well, all the way down to 1, but no one has 1, 2, or 3. But you see lots of 4, 5, 6, and now 7 coming routers. So when you're looking for a router, the higher the number, the more up-to-date it is. And I would highly recommend that no one buys anything less than a Wi-Fi 5 router, no matter what. But 6 or 7 would be better. 7 is still expensive, not everywhere yet. This year, towards the middle of next year, will become totally ubiquitous and you'll get really good ones at reasonable prices. But a Wi-Fi 6 router is definitely the best one. But they're starting to set up the Matter spec for all these routers. And what it'll do, it'll become a standard part of the router. So you won't need extra boxes. You'll have the router being the hub for the home managed smart home devices, and then you'd be able to get better, you know, better power management and much fewer dropouts. And it's definitely going to become a thing for the growing smart home market, because at one stage, a year, even 2 years ago, Wi-Fi connected home appliances were far and few between. But now they've got lawnmowers that run on Wi-Fi. You can actually, like those little Hoover or clean vacuum bots that float around the house. My son-in-law's one is called David, and it always gets stuck and tells you, hello, David needs help, on your cell phone. It's just a real screech. But that type of thing, the mopping and cleaning and vacuuming and mowing your lawn, you don't have to worry. You just have this machine that undocks itself, runs around your garden, can climb stairs to some extent, mows your lawn, checks that everything's done, empties itself into a container, and then clicks back onto the charger, all managed through an app if you want, or manually if you want as well. But if it's all linked into your router, it's linked into your Wi-Fi, you can again set it for low power times. Who wants the mowers going at 6 in the morning when you're trying to sleep? You can do it at 12 when no one's there. the amount of connected devices and the pricing of them has reached the point where they're going seriously mainstream. In the next 18 months, we're going to see every single, even the cheapies I was talking about early, will have some form of connectivity, optimization, ability, sensors, AI-driven something or some other that will make it smarter, better, faster, cheaper, good, you know, all those good things, but certainly more convenient to use. So if you forgot to switch on the tumble dryer, you can do it remotely, perfect, or you can wait until you get home and hit a button rather than running downstairs or upstairs or around the house doing stuff. So the Wi-Fi Alliance, who's managing that, really makes a huge, huge difference in terms of what's going on. And wearables weren't ignored. There were a lot of Whoop type, if you've heard of the Whoop, it's like a high-end system for managing every bit of information from your body. But there are many other wearables that are coming out with some really interesting stuff. And I saw some of Garmin's stuff. They've always been on the forefront of some of their high-end sports watches. And their sort of health trackers have always been great. But there's a brand new Fenix 8 Pro with the world's first micro-LED smartwatch display, which is super bright, comes with satellite and LTE. Apple have done a similar thing in their range. But it's crazy priced, but with a dream set of specs for fitness buffs. So wait and see if that should hit our shores in the next month or two, hopefully sooner. And it's some really amazing, they have got a great range, Garmin, in any event. But the Fenix 8 Pro really was impressive. The screen was super bright and based on the new micro-LED architecture, which is one of the world's firsts. And interestingly, that same architecture was available on TCL TVs and on Samsung TVs, still stupidly expensive when you're talking about 98 or and above to 160-inch TVs, but offering almost all the benefits of OLED with none of the drawbacks in terms of burn-in. But TVs are moving on to the next gen. There were tons, and I have realized I've almost run out of time to talk about that. But we'll have to take a quick break for our sponsors, and then I'll be back with all the information that came out regarding Apple and maybe a quick roundup of some of the IFA quirky gadgets and interesting stuff. But we will be back straight after this.
This is Tech Talk with Stephen Ambrose on 101.9 High FM.
Well, welcome back. Now, moving on to the big reveal, I love their terminology, their awesome announcement. Oh dear, I've been told my audio is cracking, which is not a good thing. There's not much I can do about it, but let's see if we can get it to play nicely. Hopefully it settles down a little now. Apple's iPhone 17 launch with other things. Obviously, they started off with some of the smaller and less sort of noteworthy products, though they are pretty noteworthy. They announced the new AirPod Pro 3s, which have got enhanced drivers, better quality chips and control sets, and some of the benefits of that is that they are now enabled for automatic translation of voice, which is pretty insane. I see that we're having a little bit of technical challenges. I'm going to switch my mic on and off and see if we can get that to come through, and then we'll see if we can get it back as quickly as possible. Give me 1 second, sorry. I've reset it. Hopefully the sound is now good. This is the wonder of technology. Sometimes things, oh dear. It definitely doesn't seem like it's working too well. So give me 1 more second and I will do my best to get the audio in as quickly as possible.
This is Tech Talk with Stephen Ambrose on 101.9 High FM.
Well, welcome back. Sorry about all the technical difficulties and weirdnesses that are going on. And I've done the live read, the second one. Now I'm going to have to do a really fast wrap-up. I know I've run out of time and we lost some time to technology challenges, which
always happens, unfortunately. But the big announcements from iPhone was the iPhone 17 lineup, Apple Watches, and the iPads Pro 3. Pro 3's very significant iteration from the current models. They will be available fairly shortly in South Africa, probably around about the last week of September, along with the iPhone 17. But the iPhone 17 added a new model, the iPhone 17 Air, which is super slim, single dual function camera, no SIM slot, so it'd have to go eSIM, but it's certainly super slim at 5 to 6 millimeters, 6.5 inch display, and a titanium body. It's the only one with a titanium body. It also comes with iOS 26, which I'm using and can highly, highly, highly recommend. That will be out for all iPhones that can run it properly from next week. But in the meanwhile, the iPhone 17, the prices shouldn't go up. If anything, they may, in terms of the RAM being a little stronger, they may come down a bit. But the iPhone 17 base model in America starts at $799 with 6.3 inch 120 hertz screen. And then the 17 Pro and Pro Max start at $1,099 and $1,199, but all start at 256 gigabyte base storage. There is a new 2 terabyte option, which will push the 40, 45 grand space. It's going to be stupid expensive. And they are all aluminium, a special type of aluminium, but no more titanium. They all include a new in-one Wi-Fi and Bluetooth chip, which is great. So it's the latest standards, Wi-Fi 7, Bluetooth 6. And there are a lot of little useful things, like you can reduce screen flickering for those that are a little bit sensitive to that. I'm not. I don't see it. Seems to be my eyes just miss it. But from what I've seen, not a huge change in terms of overall look and feel, but some slick new camera bulges got a little bit bigger. The zoom is a lot better. So again, if you've got an iPhone 16, it's a question whether you should update now or wait for the 18. But 15 and below, and certainly 14 and below, this is a no-brainer upgrade. Superb, superb Apple devices. The in OS 26, the AI has improved dramatically. There's been a lot of talk that they're behind the curve. Yet to be seen if they really have reached the heights of Samsung and Google, but certainly they're bringing it along really fast. Obviously, a brand new range of Apple Series 11 watches. Again, if you're a 10 user, I would say moving to 11 is maybe you cracked the screen or scratched it too much or something. But there's not a lot other than they brought back blood pressure checking, which is quite cool. But the big news was the Ultra 3, which has not been updated for over 2 years. It's now got a bigger screen in the same body, a lot more functionality, better GPS, better battery life. Comes with 5G, the 11, and the Ultra 3, which is really cool. And that will bring the devices right up to date. Again, not such a big deal, but certainly a significant upgrade. And then, of course, the iPads 3, same price, but they've got a built-in heart rate monitor, richer audio, some real-time translation. So wait and see, but all of this should go on sale in the next week or so for pre-order and then available in the stores in the next 2 weeks or so. So stay tuned. I'm afraid we have to wrap up. I've run out of time because of technology failures. But till the same place, same time, right here on Hi FM, this is Stephen Ambrose for Tech Talk, and we will discuss my hands-on with a lot of these devices at our next show, which is every Thursday from 11 to 12. This is Stephen Ambrose for Hi FM.